That was beautiful singing. Did you have your B complex this morning? Bacon? B. I had C and B. I had my coffee and I had bacon. If you have your Bibles with you, I'd like you to turn to 1 Corinthians and chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, and I want to start reading in verse 10, and we're going to go to the end of the chapter. And this is part of finishing well. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. But it was to us that God revealed these things by his Spirit. Now I'm reading from the New Living Translation. For his Spirit searches out everything and shows us God's deep secrets. No one can know a person's thoughts except that person's own spirit, and no one can know God's thoughts except God's own spirit. And we have received God's spirit, not the world's spirit, so we can know the wonderful things that God has freely given us. When we tell you these things, we do not use words that come from human wisdom. Instead, we speak words given to us by the Spirit, using the Spirit's words to explain spiritual truths. But people who aren't spiritual can't receive these truths from God's Spirit. It all sounds foolish to them, and they can't understand it, for only those who are spiritual can understand what the Spirit means. Those who are spiritual can evaluate all things, but they themselves cannot be evaluated by others. For who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach him? But we understand these things, for we have the mind of Christ. Now, I told you yesterday that I'm going to bring in a little bit of health and combine these two things together. So just what I would do this morning, I did a podcast this morning at 8 o'clock. And I talked about some things, but one thing I talked about is Alzheimer's. Now, the biggest fear that seniors have, right? The biggest fear that we have, this is, you know, right across the spectrum with seniors, is losing our minds, losing our memory, right? And it's interesting that the number one killer in the United Kingdom is not heart disease nor cancer, it's Alzheimer's. The number three killer in Canada is Alzheimer's. It used to be in the 70s, I mean, it wasn't even on the charts of the top 20 reasons people would die. So we're all concerned about that. We're concerned about our minds. And just to give you an interesting little fact. In 2022, July 2022, there was a, I don't know if you've ever heard of Cochrane studies. Cochrane is sort of the gold medal of all medical studies. And the reason is because what they do at the Cochrane Institute is that they take all the studies and they put them together and then they reach conclusions. You know, whereas you can do different studies on mice or whatever. Cochrane takes all the studies and then looks at it. It's interesting what they said. In July of 22, they said this: what we have been looking at Alzheimer's has been wrong. So ever since Alzheimer's has become like an epidemic, especially in the Western world, they've been looking at what they call plaque in the brain, okay? Amyloid plaque. It's like sort of little scarring that takes place, And Cochrane says, no, that's not it at all. You know what they said? Fascinating. They said that one of the biggest causes of Alzheimer's is a condition called insulin resistance. And insulin is food, guys. You don't secrete insulin unless you're eating. Because insulin is a food hormone. Your pancreas secretes insulin because insulin is like a traffic cop. Whatever you eat, insulin takes it and takes it, especially because if it's converted to sugar, your body is very smart. Your body is fearfully and wonderfully made. So God gave you an organ called your pancreas to secrete insulin so that when you eat anything, but especially sugar or carbohydrates, okay, bread, pasta, rice, cereal, sugar, sweet, whatever we had this morning, okay, those are converted to sugars, but here's what insulin does. Insulin's a traffic cop, and it's sugar. You can't park there. Do you know that if I emptied, you just had French toast? If I emptied your blood right now, 5 liters approximately, you'd have less, even an hour, is it an hour? Just about half an hour after eating, you'd have less than a teaspoon of sugar in 5 liters of blood. You know why? Insulin. Insulin's your friend because it takes sugar. Sugar destroys your blood vessels. Diabetes used to be called what? Not type 2 adult onset diabetes. It used to be called what? Sugar diabetes. And Cochrane is saying in 2022, it didn't hit the headlines unless you were looking for it. They were saying that one of the biggest factors in Alzheimer's is insulin resistance, meaning when you eat too many carbs and sugars. Okay? Don't come after me. I'm just a messenger. When you eat too many carbs or sugars, insulin parks it, parks that sugar. But in the brain, insulin, the cells in your brain cells, especially your hippocampus, your memory center in the brain, it resists insulin because it says, insulin, you're always around. You're a pain. Get away from me. I'm tired of it. So insulin inside your cells goes, get away from me. And now sugar can't get inside your little cells in your brain. You know what happens? It destroys your hippocampus. Now, there's other factors, I know. But I just wanted to relay that message. Because you are really what you eat, okay, from a physical standpoint, okay? So, but this morning what we're doing is we're talking about the mind. And to finish well, I want to talk to you about the mind of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16. Admit with me, believer, dear beloved, if this wasn't in the Bible, you'd have a hard time believing it, right? That we, you and I, have the mind of Christ. What? Yes, the Bible says it, that you and I have the mind of Christ. And the world out there, they have no idea about this mind. And that's what 1 Corinthians chapter 2 really was saying. The man without the Spirit cannot accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are what? Foolishness to them. But Christian, if you want to finish well, you have to develop what is already given to you, and that is the mind of Christ. It takes discipline, and we'll talk about that. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we read about it, the mind of Christ. And so if you go to Romans chapter 12, you'll read there about the discerning mind. That is part of the mind of Christ. What do I mean by that? Well, it says in Romans chapter 12, many of you would have memorized this, right? Paul says, I beseech you, I plead with you, I beg you, to lay your body on the altar for Christ, right? That's what he's saying in Romans chapter 12. For what God has done to you, done for you, the least that we should do is lay our bodies on the altar for him. But it also says this in Romans chapter 12, in verses 1 and 2. It says, do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. You know what the New Living Translation, I like it because it says this about that, about changing your mind. It talks about, you know what it says? It takes that renewing of the mind and it says, let God change your thinking. Christian, let God change your thinking. I like that. And the more we put our body on the altar, the more we sell out for God, the more we're not conformed to the world, but we're transformed, and God will change your thinking. And when he changes your thinking, he gives you the, I'm going to talk about five things that change in your mind. The discerning mind. Guys, you and I, we look at the world differently, right? I mean, we should. We realize the world is not our home, one. We're only passing through. We're in school. We realize that when we look at the world, the people of the world don't see this, but we do because we understand that in 1 John 5 and 19, that the whole world is under the sway of the evil one. You see, folks, that's a discerning mind. That's the mind of Christ. You and I know that. So when things, look, what are our expectations in this world? They shouldn't be very high because the God of this world is temporarily in charge. He sways. And so, you ever been line dancing? You need a belt buckle. And they go this way, and they go this way, and they go this way, and they go that way. That's line dancing. That's what the world does with the God of this world. They line dance. Because what he wants, and Christian, Satan knows he can't have you. He reads the Bible. He's into eternal security. But what he tries to do is get you to conform to the world, to be like the world. And you and I need a discerning mind. That's the mind of Christ. By faith, you and I, we understand, right? Hebrews chapter 11. I always tell people I used to travel around. Well, I used to. Now they don't invite me anymore. Only to senior conferences. I used to be a popular youth speaker, but they don't invite, well, I shouldn't say that. I went to North Carolina in the spring. I said, are you sure you got the right Tony Martin, right? Because I'm old. You want the old guy? Yeah, we want the old guy. Okay, I'm coming. But guys, listen. We don't want to be conformed to the world. We want to be transformed, right? And I tell young people, by faith, I said, do you want to get into the hall of faith? Hebrews 11, we're there before anyone else. By faith, we understand. We, that's you and I, how the world was framed by the word of God. Do you believe that, Christian? I believe that. God spoke this world into existence. Jesus Christ, the same one that went to the cross of Calvary, spoke the world into existence. Isn't that amazing? That was one of the biggest dilemmas that I had when I got saved. Because all of medicine now, all of anything in nutrition, my field, anything with, you know, gurus on the social media or whatever, in medicine or in healthcare field, you know what they come out of? Evolutionary biology. It has permeated every university, every secondary, in the secondary schools and whatever, it's taken as science. You can't argue with science. You know, you swat at a mosquito and you hit one of your distant relatives. I mean, that's what they teach, right? They teach that, that we come out of some soup after the Big Bang and, you know, evolution and all the way down. But isn't it wonderful that you and I have the mind of Christ? We know better. By faith, we understand. Our eyes have been opened. And God spoke the world into existence. I remember there was a young lady. I used to be able to go, and Gary might remember. I think, Gary, you might have gone to grade 13 in Timmins. Once a year, they would allow one of us to go and present the opposite of evolution. 90-minute class. And I loved it. You know, I remember one time, the teacher there, he's passed away now, but I was in high school with him. And he was the biology teacher. That's why he invited me to come, because I was in grade 13. You remember grade 13? You guys know, if I am in with young, grade 13, that's the second tour of grade 12, you know? But I was looking at, and I said, well, I'm going to tell you how evolution can't be true. I said, you see Mr. Reed here? I said, look at him. And everybody turned to look at him, and aside, I said, he used to be good looking. All the girls in grade 13, oh, Mr. Reed! No, they didn't call him that. Ken or whatever his first, again, well, he's in heaven, by the way. I said, look, the second law of thermodynamics, everything deteriorates. If you don't believe that, senior citizen, you don't have the mind of Christ and you don't even have a mind. Everything deteriorates. And I amen. And I got such a laugh. And he was mad at me for doing that. I said, he used to be good looking, but you know what? There was a young lady there. She's a medical doctor today. And at the end of, we had question and answer. I talked for an hour and then question and answers. And she said to me, Dr. Martin, do you really believe that God created the heavens and the earth in 6 literal days? And I said, yeah, I believe that. And I only have one question for him. What took you so long? You see, because for me, when you have the mind of Christ and you have the word of God, is anything impossible for God? That's our God. Christian, you want to finish well? You need that discerning mind. You understand how the world operates. You understand what's going on. You understand all those lies out there. Then you need the submissive mind of Philippians chapter 2. The mind of Christ is a submissive mind. Let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a servant, being found in the fashion as a man and in the likeness of men. Right? Jesus took that. The mind of Christ is the submissive mind. It's a paradox, really. The lower you get, the higher you become in Christ's eyes. The first shall be last, and the last shall be first. In Philippians, in that same, just in verse 3, it says, consider others better than yourself. Now, Christian, you can't have the mind of Christ and be into meology. That's what's going on, even in the churches today. There's a lot of meology. What are you doing for me? They come to church and they want to be fed, and that's nothing wrong with that, but they want to sit on the sidelines. I mean, you look at these mega churches and whatever. Listen, you go to church, good for you. But all I'm saying is a lot of things is that they're, it's a worldly thing because it's meology. It's not theology, it's meology. What are you doing for moi? Right? That's not of God. It's what you and I do for others. You see, God's into people. If you want the mind of Christ, God's into people. And your love for God is reflected. It's directly proportional to your love of people. Your family, your church family, in your home, your spouse, and the lost. Oh God, I want the mind of Christ to finish well. I want to pour my life into other people's lives. You know what? At our age, guys, let me tell you something. Here's something I've learned. I told you, if I'd have known grandchildren, that much fun, we'd have had them first. But I'm going to tell you something. Pour your life into those grandchildren. If you've got grandchildren, God's blessed you with that, pour your life into them. It's worth it. It's worth it. The submissive mind. The filtered mind. You know what a Brita is? Anybody know what a Brita is? Put your hand. What's the matter with you folks? Come on, you know what a Brita is. Brita, listen, okay, we're old enough. Did you ever think you'd buy water in your lifetime? You know what my sports drink was when I was a kid? The hose. The garden hose. You? That's what, you know, you were sweating. Come on, to get the garden hose out. Did you ever think you'd go buy a bottle of water? No, you didn't. If you are, you're a big liar. Okay? Because you're not a prophet nor the son of one. Don't tell me you knew where you're going to buy water. In the 1950s when I was born, water? Buy it? Are you kidding me? But listen, one thing I do recommend to my patients is that they buy a filter for their water. Okay, because in Sudbury, when I moved there, I called the Sudbury Health Unit, and I asked them, just asking for a question, how much chemicals they use at 2,300 chemicals in Sudbury's water? And look, guys, don't come after me. All I'm saying, I'm giving you the fact. So I recommend to my people, look, patients, use a filter, Brita. You know what a Brita is? Okay, you know, you can get it. Go to Walmart. Okay? Pour water in there, and it'll filter out 99.9% of all the impurities. Okay? So if you're going to drink out of a tap, I recommend you use a Brita. But you want your brain to be a Brita. Because it says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, use a filter. Is it true? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Is it of good report? Meaning, is it worthwhile saying? Otherwise, shut up. I didn't even say that. No, but we need that. That's the mind of Christ. The mind of Christ is a filtered mind. It filters out, and it takes discipline, by the way. You have the equipment, but you got to use it. And before we say something, filter it. Is it true? Is it just? Is it pure? Is it lovely? Let the Brita, that's the mind of Christ, develop that. It's there. The equipment's there, but you need to use it. I want to have a filtered mind. A filtered mind. And then it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, take every thought into captivity. Now, what's that mean? Every thought needs to come into captivity, meaning that if it's something that is discouraging, take that thought and stop it. Listen to yourself, Christian, just for a minute. Think about this. If I was to record all of your talk every day, a lot of you, I don't mean this. I'm not saying you when I say you. okay? A lot of people, they don't realize that they're so, they think God's given them a gift of discouragement. It's not one of the spiritual gifts, okay? You know, because people, they can't help it sometimes to go and, Susie, I see you put on a few pounds, you know? And you don't look that good in that dress, you know, and I don't like your hair. And that's the gift of discouragement. Now, it may be true. So that's all right, you filtered it, but now you need to captivate it. You got to hold it captive, like, shut up. You know what I'm saying? Like, and God's given us the equipment, so if it's not going to be, you can use your tongue as a tool. You know what we need? I was with a young believer, but he's mid-50s. I said, you know what we need in the assemblies or the churches? We need encouragement. You know, like we live in a crazy world. And, you know, I talked to you yesterday about like the effects of COVID and what we went through in that experiment in a Petri dish. And you know what? Who got discouraged so much is young people, especially, but Christians too, really discouraged. You know what we need? We need people with the mind of Christ and a captured mind, and that we are encouragers. Boy, do we ever need Barnabas around these days. Barnabas was such an encourager, wasn't he? You know, when Paul said, hey, Mark, out. We don't want you anymore. You're not coming. Oh, you know. And Paul might have been right about Mark, but Barnabas, you know, he was an encourager. You know what? We need encouragers. We need people to pump up our tires, don't we? People get so discouraged on the way. Be an encourager, my friend. And I was telling that young brother the other day, you know what? We need you to be an encourager. I'll tell you, as an elder in the assembly, you know, it's sometimes it can be really rough because, of course, we know stuff too much, really, but it can be so discouraging in the work, you know, just because you see people that are struggling at home in their marriages and their. And we know all these things, and it hurts, and it gets discouraging. Oh, am I ever thankful for people that come up to me and go, Tony, I just love you, bro. I like that. We need that. Okay, fifthly, we need sober-minded. You want to be clear-headed thinking. You know what a clear-headed person is? Sober. You read about it in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, the sober mind. And the sober mind has a mind on the clock. Folks, here's a memo. Time is running out. For us, I'm in the home stretch. You know, time flies, doesn't it? I mean, you know, you think, and, but we need that sober mind. The Bible tells us that, that wisdom is found in watching the clock. It is. God's wisdom, God's mind would have you watch the clock. The time is near. You know, Reebok had a commercial several years ago, and their theme was, life is short, play hard. Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 5, life is short, quit playing. Let's not waste our time. The clock's running out. On our lives, personally, but even on this world, I believe, the way it is. I believe Christ is, well, we know for a fact, Christ is coming sooner today than he was yesterday. Keep your eye on the clock, folks. type of, that is a sober mind. You know, because I get people, I used to have patients come in, I'm going to live till I'm 120. I said, be careful what you wish for. You might be there and your kids are wishing you were dead because you don't even have a mind anymore. You might outlive your mind. Do you want that? I don't want that. Do you want that? But you know, all I'm saying is, you know, people that, oh, I'm going to live till, you know, my
uncle, you know, he smoked, he drank, and he didn't exercise, and he didn't eat care what he ate, and he lived till he's 98. That was the grace of God.
Had nothing to do with what he was doing. Keep your eye on the clock. It's better, it says, in Ecclesiastes chapter 7, it's better to go to a funeral than it is to a party. Now, I don't mean to be pessimistic. I love being here. You know what I found out? I like it here. We're partying, seniors party, right? Nothing but fun. True. But it's better to go to a funeral. Ecclesiastes says, because he said, you're going to learn a lot more at a funeral. I got a PhD, by the way, in obituaryology, okay? It was an honorary degree given to me by my wife, because I'm always looking at obituaries. It's true. I look at the obituaries every day. You? No, I do. I make sure I'm not in there, right? And then I look at the rest of the names, and it's surprising how many people I know, especially if I open up Timmins or Sudbury or whatever. Oh, that used to be my patient and this and that. But keep your eye on the clock. Keep your eye on the clock. There's nothing wrong with that. It's not negative. It's positive. Because looking for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who redeemed us from all iniquity and purchased for himself a peculiar people, is zealous for good works. You want to develop what you already have if you're a Christian, and that is the mind of Christ. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for this day, and I thank you for these beautiful and wonderful brothers and sisters in the Lord, Father. Thank you for their lives, their testimonies, Father, the fact that they're going on for you. And Lord, we just pray that as we take some of these thoughts, Father, that, Lord, we would be encouraged today, encouraged from the Word of God. Imagine that, Father, that you've given us the mind of Christ. Incredible. Thank you, Father. We want to thank you from the bottom of our hearts. So, Lord, as we finish out the rest of the day till Gary speaks tonight, Father, would you just bless us and bless our fellowship together and our time together? And we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everyone said...